Good morning, church. This is a great joy to be with you this morning once again. Especially on the fact that we are gathered here today to conclude our conference, which started on Friday, and it was a good and still good conference. This morning we will turn together to Matthew 28, and I will read from verse 1 to verse 20, but our preaching is based on verses 16 to 20. The title of the message this morning: the risen Christ, his power and message. And Baba was a spundela from verse 1 to verse 20.
Read the following. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." Amen.
The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts.
Amen.
Some of those things we just read, we spoke about in the conference. Especially on the last service yesterday. So where we're picking up this morning is verses 16 to verse 20. As I've already mentioned, looking at the risen Christ, his power and message. Church, if someone among us will die and come back to life, we will definitely expect him to tell us something of what he saw the other side. Simply because we are all fascinated, we want to know what it is or how it is beyond the grave. You know what I'm talking about. These days we even entertain the stories. People will be on a coma and they will come back to tell us stories. Stories who are actually influenced by their own hallucinations, and they will tell us what they saw, and they saw this and that. We want to hear because we are fascinated. How is it the other side? We are interested to know the unknown. Remember how much people, or how many people came and gathered together when Lazarus was raised from the dead. They wanted to see and believe. But before us this morning, we have a risen Savior. We have a risen Savior fresh from the tomb, with power on his hands and a message on his lips. And church has a very important message for us, and I believe this message is one of the reasons why we are still kept here below. What message is that? To preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want us to do this morning is just to look at three great implications, practical implications of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Firstly, I want us to consider in verse 16 and 17, I want us to consider that the resurrection unites the believers. It reads as following. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Church, let me start by saying, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the cross is a meaningless tragedy. Without the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus' message of Jesus' gospel, the good news of God, is worthless unto us. Without the resurrection, Jesus could not have been our Savior. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we have no hope, no future hope, no present hope. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we will not know the good news of our salvation in Him. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we will not know the joy of being one and united with the God so holy, so high. We will not know that He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, to an internal and eternal inheritance kept for us in heaven. It is the resurrection that speaks those things to us. This morning, church, we have something so marvelous communicated by the Lord Jesus Christ in these passages. It is something of a new and a living hope. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen already. He's alive, church. There is so much then, so much anticipation, even from the believers, so much anticipation, even from the disciples. They want to know what message would He give us from the dead. There is so much curiosity. The Bible tells us that they ran to the tomb early in the morning. They found no one but linen. But now they have a message. In short, from an angel, and the angel gives the message to the women, telling the women to tell the disciples to go meet the Lord in Galilee. Galilee was a place known to these disciples' church. Galilee was a place in the neighborhood where these disciples' homes were. He's not calling them to an isolated place which is not known, but a place that they know. Galilee was a place whereby many followers of Jesus resided. We can see here that it is about time that the scattered believers who were scattered by the persecution of Jesus Christ, who were scattered by the cross, now are coming together. They are coming to unite and meet the Lord in Galilee. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. He says, Then he appeared to more than 5,000 brothers at once, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Let me remind you this, church. I want to show you the importance of this gathering, the importance of this coming together. The Bible tells us that at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples went to hide themselves. They were hiding from the Jews who wanted to crucify them or kill them in any way, in any other way. The book of John, chapter number 20, verse 19 to 23, tells us that they locked themselves behind closed doors. They were afraid, scared of their own lives. They wanted to be safe from the world. But they thought that to be safe from the world is to lock themselves behind closed doors. They thought that to be safe from the world is to isolate yourself from the world. We can think the same even today. If I may isolate myself from the world, I may be saved from the influence of the world. But maybe that's not true. And the influence of the world. But now they are coming to unite again to meet the Lord. They are coming to be together to go to a designated area where the Lord is calling them to go. No longer is one going to his own home, but now the believers are drawing near to where the Lord is. Because previously everyone, the Bible tells us that everybody went to his own home. They went to continue their lives, the life that Jesus found them doing. They went fishing. You can sense there's something of hopelessness because Jesus is dead. You can sense perhaps something of guilt in people like Peter, for he is the one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they are either locking themselves somewhere or they are in their own homes. There is so much something of shame, if you will, as the believers are looking at one another and asking questions. How can a man who walked with Jesus for 3 years actually betray him? There is so much assumption, so much questions, but there is no answer. But above all, there is so much division. They are not united. There is something of pointing to each other with fingers, if you will. There's a blame game going on. You caused the Lord's death. But perhaps if you were there, you would have done something different yourself. But remember, you ran before time. You hid yourself. At least I was there. I saw the whole thing, that is John. But yeah, you were there, but you didn't do anything. You just stood and watched. You see, the death of Jesus, my point is, brought division, confusion among the believers. Why? It brought good news and joy to the world. Our enemy is defeated. But now, the resurrection has happened. The Lord is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead to die no more. Now the disciples are called out to go and unite and meet the Lord. Now this meeting is said to be a spiritual counseling, if you will, for the believers. It is something whereby the Lord is going to work on their consciences and restore their spirits. It is something whereby their sorrows and pain will be taken away. A place whereby they will not feel intimidated, they will not feel threatened by the world. The Lord is risen. The resurrection of Christ said to unite them on the first day of the week. Please underline. The first day of the week, they are uniting as believers. They are gathering together as believers. They are going to a place, a designated place, where the Lord is going to meet them. You read your Bible. It says when they met him on the first day of that week, they worshipped him. Now a Jewish man, Peter and the other 10, and many believers who were there at the time, for the first time they worshipping the King of Glory on the first day of the week. No longer on the Sabbath they will call upon him Lord, but now on the first day of the week they are united by the resurrection of Jesus. But listen, something also that we need to learn here. Something of obedience. They know the Lord Jesus Christ is dead. The Bible says some of them didn't even believe that he would rise from the dead. But at the news of the resurrection of Jesus, there was a turn of mind or a change of heart. They hear a message, a word that comes from Jesus, regardless of the fact that it comes through women, but it came from an angel saying, go meet me somewhere. They obey regardless of their doubts. They know for sure this is the word coming from God himself. It comes from the throne of heaven. Let us go gather where the Lord wants us to be. The Bible tells us that when they came there, when they saw the Lord, probably, I assume, as you can hear here, they saw him from the distance. Some hesitated. That's why the word is there. Some hesitated. It's not that they saw him and say, that's not Jesus. He was coming from far, I guess, coming to them. They hesitated. It cannot be him. When they saw him, no questions were asked. They all fell on their knees. They worship the Lord. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ brought them to their knees. You may look at them very funny. You may look at them very funny. Why would you hesitate? You come all the way to hesitate here. Tell me who wants to deal with a dead person. Especially when you hear that he's alive now. He was dead. We know he was dead. I'm telling you, you also will run out of your own house. If you hear somebody who was dead is waiting for you in the house. These are human beings. They're running away from a dead person. I don't know why people run away from dead people. I don't know. Doesn't dead means dead? But church, These people are human beings. These people are people like us. These people need motivation. These people need their faith to be strengthened. The only thing that could strengthen their faith, the only thing that will lead them to believe, was to see a risen Savior. They saw him. Now we see something of the first worship service after the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus brings us the first service in a designated area where the Lord calls them to go. They worship him. The first practical implications of the resurrection, we see it here. To gather together. We are gathering together because Christ rose from the dead. We are gathering together because we have hope. We are gathering together because we have joy now. Remember, they were crying the previous day. Our Lord is taken away. Women, do not cry for me, cry for yourselves and your little ones. But today there is great joy. The first implication, Jesus rose from the dead, the believers gathered together. Because of the resurrection, we are assured that the church now will not despair, the church now will not be disunited. Now the believers are able to raise their voice unto heaven with confidence and call upon God. Now their tears, if you will, are being wiped away. Of course, their tears are still going to be wiped away, but now they see a risen Savior. What joy did the resurrection bring? Now they are able to say, in Christ alone my hope is found. Yesterday they were hopeless, not knowing what to do, where to go, not even having a message to the world, not having answers to tell the people, you followed a man, he is dead, what now? In Christ alone, today, the first day of the week, we are saying in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, he is my strength, he is my song. There in the ground, his body laid. Light of the world, stricken by darkness. But he rose from the dead. In that glorious day, he was risen. Up from the grave, he rose again. For me now, no guilt in life. No fear of death. No fear of men. But hope. My Lord is risen. Church, the resurrection is the beginning of what we should unite about. We are two churches here this morning. We are not united because Pastor Chris is my friend. But we are united because Christ rose from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we wouldn't be here. Because he would be the same, just like everybody else. Why worship a Savior who died and never rose from the dead? But because he rose again, we are brothers and sisters. Because he rose again, we are united. We are united in the preaching of the gospel. We are united in serving the Lord together. The book of Acts tells us that when with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection, they went out because of the resurrection. I'm not talking contrary, because I know some people, they go out because of the cross. That is okay. But the Bible says they united and they were witnesses of the resurrection. Let us choose one man who will be a witness with us of the resurrection. That's what they said.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen, praise to God, glory and amen.
Amen.
The resurrection unites the believers. The resurrection brings the believers together to be in one mind and one purpose for the Lord. The church came together after the resurrection and preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that it is because of the resurrection of Jesus that they were bold and they were willing to die for Jesus. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, they were willing to suffer, blame, to suffer scorn, to suffer death, to lay down their lives. Because of the resurrection, they were filled with the Spirit. Because of the resurrection, today we are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit will not have come if Jesus was not raised from the dead. I will rise and I will send Him who will fill you. He will remind you of everything I have taught you. The Spirit will convict the world of sin. It is because of the direction that the doors of the gospel were opened. We see Peter preaching in chapter number 2, and 3,000 people came to God because of the resurrection of Jesus. And after the resurrection, the churches began to grow. Friends, it was after the resurrection where the church began to grow. You don't get a number that 120 people were sitting in one place before the resurrection. Now 120 people are sitting together waiting to hear from the Lord. Christ is risen. Point being, the resurrection brought the Christians together. Only after the resurrection, they were united in spirit. Listen to Acts chapter number 2, verse 42 to 46. Listen. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were together and had all things in common. This is after the resurrection. And they were selling their possession and their belongings and distributing to the needy as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with great joy and generous hearts. The resurrection brought them together. They started to do this one thing together, which is to worship God together. We see this in that picture where the 11 is gathered to go meet the Lord. As that 11 were called to come and meet Christ. As that happened today, throughout the whole world, on the first day of the week, we are gathering to worship God because Christ rose today. They were united to worship God because of the resurrection. As Jesus commanded them, listen here in verse number
10.
Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. That is what Jesus commanded them. But are we not commanded almost similarly? Doesn't the Bible says not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some? But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is drawing near. Because of the resurrection, we are given a message never to neglect the coming together of believers. Ask yourself if you value the resurrection of Jesus if you are always absent in the church. Pastor Chris mentioned something special yesterday in his long speech of goodbye. He knows how to say goodbye. But imagine, just imagine, you prepare such a sermon knowing you're going to be preaching to people and someone is not there. People are not valuing the power of resurrection that brings us together. They are neglecting the coming together of believers. But Christ says, go and meet somewhere where I will find you. Church, it is because of the resurrection that now we have a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received the promise of the Holy Spirit because of this resurrection. Because of the resurrection, Jesus gives us the gift of repentance. Our sins can be forgiven. Listen to Acts chapter number 5, verse 31. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. To give what? To give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. The reason why he's risen and said that the right hand of God is to give repentance. Glory to God. We can have repentance because Christ rose from the dead. Our sins can be forgiven not only because Christ bore our sin in the cross, which is true, we'll get to that, but because he rose from the dead, now we have a gift of repentance and our sins can be forgiven. Don't hear me wrong, church. The cross unites us, but it does not completely unite us. No. Even some pagans like Islam believe that Jesus was crucified. I'm telling you, church, they believe that. But we cannot be united with them just because they believe that. Why? The Jehovah's Witness, your friends out there, which you go to school with, they believe that Jesus was crucified. But are we united with them? No, they are pagans. Why? The Islam. They believe he was crucified. Okay, sorry, let me repeat again. They believe that he was on his way to be crucified. Before he was crucified, God blinded the people and they swapped Jesus with Judas Iscariot because they were looking similarly. I'm telling you the truth, church. And God rescued Jesus, took him to heaven, because Judas Iscariot, remember, disappeared. Took him to heaven. Judas was crucified. Now they are waiting for Jesus to come from heaven to save them. They believe that there was crucifixion. But we are not united. So it is the resurrection that unites us. Because we are saying he was crucified, and we are the only ones who are saying he rose from the dead. On the third day, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so was the Son of God. He rose with power and great message to his church. Church, we are separated from everybody, but let the resurrection of Jesus unite us. Let us gather together because we have a risen Savior. Not because we've got good programs. Not because one church sings better than the other. Not just because young men, you saw a young lady there. No. Let us unite. Because we believe in the power of resurrection. Secondly, the resurrection spoke of Jesus' authority.
Verse 18.
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The resurrection of Jesus speaks of Jesus' authority over death. Church, if you were falling asleep, please listen in this point. The resurrection speaks of Jesus' authority over death. The resurrection speaks of Jesus' authority over all that is true. Because he's truthful. It proves the truthfulness of Jesus. It proves the trustworthiness of Jesus. Because it was Jesus who said, I have a right to lay down my life and I have got a right to take it up again. And he did. That's authority. But church, there is more. It is easy, church, to assume that Jesus already had this authority. The authority that we're talking about here is easy to think he already had. And in a way, yes, but it was not fully given to him. Let me just prove it to you. The authority that we are talking about here is easy to assume that we know what it is. Think with me. Was it not Jesus who said in Matthew 11:27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except me, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal. I'm going to repeat. Is it not him who said all things have been handed over to me? What authority are you talking about? You said all things were handed over to you. Was it not Jesus who healed all kinds of diseases and demons trembled before him? Was it not Jesus who went to the territory of Gadara and then there was a man standing by the gate and Matimona Keula and they ran when Jesus came? They ran and they went to the pigs. Because Jesus has got power and authority over these demons. What are you talking about? That all authority has been given. We are assuming you had this authority. Oh, church. Was it not Jesus who spoke like a man with authority when he taught? How can this man who has not even gone to school speak like this? The Pharisees ask. So what is this authority? Well, I want you to consider what Satan said to Jesus in Matthew chapter number 4. Turn to Matthew 4 verse 8 and
9.
Consider what the devil says so that we have... I wish I had the time, but I'll give you something. If the Bible says, again the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and the devil said to him, please listen, the devil is preaching to Jesus, and all this, as he's pointing with his little finger, I will give to you if you fall down on and fall down and worship me. Did you hear the devil? The devil is telling Jesus that he, the devil, has authority over some kingdoms. And if Jesus worshipped devil, Jesus will give these kingdoms. The devil will give these kingdoms to Jesus. The devil is claiming to have government over all the wicked kingdoms of the world. He's saying, and he's right in a way, all the wicked kingdoms of this world are under his care. That is why Paul says, the devil is the god of this world. Church, the devil had been given authority to deceive the nations. He had been given that authority. It was his. If you have been reading your Bible, you will see how much the nations rebelled against God. As God is teaching us, as pointing us to the Son who was to come using the nation of Israel, we see the other nations, how pagan they were under the hand and the tyranny of the devil. Hallelujah. But now, as we are just cutting that story short. Did you hear that part? Devil having the power. But now, what we read here is telling us that the resurrection has taken that power and authority away from the devil. Now the devil is no longer going to have, listen, he's not going to have absolute power to deceive the nations. Now the gospel which was firstly preached to the Jews, the people of Israel, is about to be preached to the nations which rebelled against God because the devil was in charge of them. Church, the people of the world were completely against God. From the time of Cain, the devil was in control. You see how the Cainites, the people who are from the descendant of Cain, they come against the Setites, the people who were people of God at the time, and they mix together, and then the wickedness wins over in Genesis chapter number 6. Not necessarily peace fight, but they are mixing together now, and now this holy or righteous nation is mixing with the wicked nation, but as we see in chapter number 6, the wicked ones are taking over. What does the Bible says there? God was enraged. It says he even repented why he created man. Because Satan was in control. Church, there we can see how God decided then from that time to save a people from himself, for himself through Abraham and his offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the nation that was so loved. Through Abraham, this nation is called to point us to Jesus. But even in that nation, as we spoke in the conference, wickedness continued. Which is why Paul says in Romans chapter number 9, verse 6 and 7, for not all who are descended of Israel belong to Israel. Some are wicked. The devil is upon them. Not all who are the children of Abraham because they are the offsprings of Abraham. No, not anymore. I'm bringing you the angle whereby I'm saying Christ didn't have this absolute power to the nations in his earthly ministry until the resurrection. Did he not say to his disciples, go to the house of Israel? But we shall see just now, he's no longer saying the same words. He says, go to the whole world. Now the door of the gospel is open to the whole world. Now Christ has authority to gather the whole nations to himself. Because the nation of Israel failed to be that magnetizing nations which God has called them to be. Because Satan had authority. Therefore, church, the authority which Jesus is referring to here is his absolute power, his absolute authority over Satan. Complete power. Complete authority. Because for a little while the nations were given over to Satan to deceive them. But now the time has come that the gospel of God through the Lord Jesus Christ may be officially extended. Listen, may be officially extended to the nations. I'm not saying it was never extended to them, but now it is officially extended to the nations. Jesus has a God-given authority. He's got this God-given power over the nations and over Satan, as I was saying. What does that tell me and you? He's no longer the savior of the Jews alone.
Mm-hmm.
Although salvation comes through the Jews, although he says, I come for my own, and my own did not receive me, but those who received me, I've given them eternal life. Jesus is no longer, because he was never anyway for the Jews alone, but completely, he's not for the Jews. But it's because of the resurrection. The resurrection opened the doors to the nations. He will not keep himself now secret like he did before. Remember, he healed somebody and said, go tell nobody. He raised someone from the dead, go tell nobody. Whatever he did, go tell no one. That was before. He's not hiding himself anymore. He says, now you will go to the whole world. They will know in the whole world that I am Christ, dead, but now I'm alive. Because of the resurrection, he's going to be known throughout the whole world. That is why Jesus is known throughout the whole world. It's the resurrection. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter number 2, verse 15. Go home, read it carefully, and scrutinize it if you want. Church, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Where was that? In the cross and in the resurrection. I'm going to read it again. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. Because of the resurrection, we sense something that the devil's mission is now being paralyzed, partially paralyzed. What was this authority? To deceive the nations. Are the nations not believing in Jesus now? They do. Why? Because God foreknew his people and he chose them to himself, and the resurrection opened for the gospel, that the gospel may be believed throughout the nations. So we are saying, church, the resurrection of Jesus introduced a high degree of authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer will the disciples go to the house of Israel, the ethnic Jews, because that's what he was commanding them before. But now they will remember his words. Listen to what he says in John 10. John 10, verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, speaking to the Jews. But I must bring them also. They will also listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. They must remember these words. We must also remember these words. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is our shepherd. Because of the resurrection, we are his flock. Because of the resurrection, now the disciples can proclaim the gospel throughout the world. Because of the resurrection, the disciples will no longer hide themselves behind doors, but they will go to the mountains and to the hills of this world to preach the gospel. Because of this resurrection, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ will now do all things through Him who strengthened them. Church, the resurrection of Jesus spoke of a new dispensation, a new era, if you will. A new era of joy. Jesus has received power to craft into that olive tree, which is Israel, to craft in the Gentiles. Praise to God, hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
It is because of the resurrection we call Him Lord, although He's not one of our own by nature, but by the standards of this world, He is a Jew, and He's our Lord. Because of the resurrection, we no longer as Gentiles have our own little gods. That's what happened in the past. Because of the resurrection, we now worship one God. Because of the resurrection, we are not in Moria right now to have our own black Messiah.
No,
we know who the Messiah is because He rose from the dead. We know who the Messiah is. He's the one who has absolute power, who does not die. Ahai won now. But Isaiah, what mhlambe wena uhambile waye toilet mvuseni. No.
Amen.
No. He's got power.
Unamandla.
Let me jump quickly to the third point. The resurrection gives us a gospel mission mandate.
Okwesithathu, ukubuka kaJesu kusinikeza ivangeli elifanele sihambe ngalo.
Go therefore, verse 19 and 20.
And
make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. Church, I'm saying that the resurrection has sent us out into the world. It is because of the resurrection that we go to the streets and the mountains and the high hills of this world to seek souls who are lost. Because of the direction, He says, go. Because of the resurrection, the believer has received marching orders from the Master. Every believer here has something to do because of the resurrection. We have a duty and a responsibility of gathering souls for Christ. Because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, the Spirit of God is at work in this world. All that we do, we go. Please, I want to consider the word there. Therefore, shortly, he's saying, in other words, for that reason, because we are united now, because I have authority over death, because now the doors of the gospel is open, because now the whole human race can listen to the words of God, because now the mission of this devil has been paralyzed for a little while. Go. Let's read John chapter 12, verse 31. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world has been cast out. Do you hear that? That's because of the resurrection. Now the ruler of this world has been cast out. I'm not saying the devil is bound and it can't do anything. That's not what I'm saying. No. But the gospel has got power over him because of the resurrection. But there is something that we must do to show that we believe and honor the resurrection. We go. Are we willing to go? Are we going to fill these empty chairs here and in Davidton because of the resurrection? Are we willing to go? Are we willing to stand on the streets and the high hills and high mountains of this world and preach the gospel? The door is wide open. Go. I won't say go if I have not opened the door through my resurrection. Go. Question is go and do what? And do it how? Firstly, according to Jesus, the church has a mandate to gather the souls for God. But all nations. Consider your verse. Go. Teach all nations. That is why church, we plant churches in every place of this world. We will plant churches, suburban churches, rural churches, township churches, underground churches, churches in the air if you can. He said go. But as long as there's a soul in that place, we cannot keep gathering in a conference and go after the conference and do our own thing. We must remember, church, we must go. Let's go. All the nations of the world have been given to him. Through all the nations of the world, God has a people. Even the neighbor that you don't like so much, maybe that neighbor is your sister in Christ. You must just go. He says go. That's the first thing, go. The Spirit of God is going to cause them to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, says Peter. We go. Our job is not to raise the dead. He who rose from the dead will raise the dead. We go. And we don't choose. The first point here, you don't choose who. To all. We go. Secondly, the church must be a Baptist church. I know it sounds bad when I say that. But I'm trying to say the church must be a church who will practice baptism. And I know some churches outside Baptist, they do that. But the church must be Baptist church. They must popularize themselves by baptizing new converts. Not by dancing around and flying and throw themselves on the floor, and the pastors are flying like peacocks. And no, we are not going to be popular with that. If we like it, okay, but that's not how we're going to be known. But I can tell you, there was a church in our group back in the day. That church among the groups was known popular by a dancer. They are the dancers. No, we must popularize ourselves by baptizing the converts. That is a Baptist church. New believers must be baptized. New believers must be baptized. New believers must unite themselves with Christ in his death. New believers must personally identify themselves with Christ as they are baptized, as they cut themselves off from the sins of the world. New believers must confess that they are turning from the old life into a new life. New believers must openly and obediently join a local church. That is what baptism is about. Joining a local church which preaches the gospel. A Baptist church. Above all, church, the church will be indirectly, in doing the baptism, they will be indirectly teaching the new converts to spread the gospel. The new converts, as they are immersed in the water, those who are watching or those who are hearing, they're hearing something of a gospel. They are seeing somebody dying with Jesus. They are seeing the death of Jesus and the burial of Jesus. As the new convert is being raised up from the water, they see the power of resurrection. He's arising with Christ with power in his hands. They are identifying themselves with Jesus. Because that's what the church needs to do. Thirdly, the disciples must practically teach each other to observe all that Christ has taught. The disciples will be sitting together and gathering on Wednesdays and on Thursdays and on Saturdays and teaching each other the word of God that identifies the church. How are they going to teach each other and disciple each other if they don't meet, they don't gather together, they only gather on a conference?
I'm
just saying. Church, they must teach each other all that the Lord has commanded. In other words, all that the Old Testament has taught, all that Jesus has taught, all that the Holy Spirit has reminded the apostle to jot it down for us. Therefore, it's a duty for all of us to teach one another, to disciple one another. Fourthly, because of the resurrection, all believers can have assurance of Christ's presence. You won't have assurance of Christ's presence if he's just dead and hanging on the cross. But because of this resurrection, we have this assurance, not hope, assurance, he is with us. In all our gospel endeavors in this world, he is with us. He says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Church, this is not just a promise, but it's also a fulfillment. Were we not told that this is Emmanuel, God with us? Now this is fulfilled. He's going to be with us always. The very same thing that God said to Moses, go and liberate my people. Behold, I'll be with you. God is always with his people. He told the same thing to Joshua. I will be with you. He's telling this to us. Behold, I'll be with you. Why afraid? Why not go? Why not win a soul? He's with us. He's doing everything. Oh, church. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Because you believe that his presence is with you, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. Before uti amen, let me close. Firstly, because of the resurrection, we are gathered this morning. So let us therefore be united as the body of Christ, as we are doing this morning. Let us be a united believers. Let us remember we have one identity in him, even in our diversity. Christ has united us to himself. Let us not forsake the coming together of believers. Remember, the resurrection unites believers of diversity. Therefore, if we are indeed risen with him, let us fight against division, let us fight against racism, let us fight against tribalism. South Africa, fight against tribalism. Let our message be one. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That must be our message. And let us gather together primarily to worship God. They went and worshiped Him. Everything else must come after. The first thing, you gather to worship God. Secondly, rejoice then in knowing Christ. Nothing is above Him. He has absolute authority. Now we can bow and ask anything in accordance to His will. He is able to give because nothing can stop Him. Let us not be those who work too hard to bind and loose the devil. Our job is to cast our anxiety upon Him because He cares. Trust in Him. He has authority. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck you from His hand till He returns home. Till He returns to take you home, brother. Deadly. Let us not keep the gospel message within these four corners of this tent and Davidton. Let us remember this is the message of reconciliation between God and man. Let us remember we have a mandate. Let us organize ourselves and go. Let us organize our Sunday schools, teaching them as young as they are. They must go. Mothers must go. Fathers must go. We need to be a mission-minded people. Everywhere we are, we need to share the gospel, aiming to teach the people the word of God. Remember, because of the resurrection, we have peace. We have assurance. He is with us always. So we can trust in Him. We can obey Him. We can depend on Him. Anytime we can call upon Him. Because He is with us always. Church, but the risen Christ rose with power and authority. But also with the message. Go. God bless you.
Father, siyabonga, tumasizwa izwi lakho.